the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, sometimes referred to as Easter Monday, April the 9th, 2012. I hope you had a wonderful Easter weekend or a great start to the Passover season. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and simulcasting on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world on three different venues. My website, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We're live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We'll get things rolling this Monday afternoon with a Monday political face-off featuring one of our two teams of commentators, Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Then we will spend the second half of the hour with two of the lead advocates for the Mexican-American Studies program in the Tucson Unified School District. A few weeks ago, we heard from attorney Tom Horn, who argued three weeks ago today, before a federal judge in support of the constitutionality of the law targeting TUSD, Mexican American Studies. Today, we hear from attorney Richard Martinez. Mr. Martinez represents the plaintiffs in the case, which is challenging the constitutionality of the law. We encourage you to be a part of the conversation. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Every Monday here on the show, we kick things off with the Monday Political Face-Off featuring one of the two teams of commentators. Today it is Bruce Ash, the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom is former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. He's the current vice chair of the local Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Bruce and Paul, Moe's really is the best in town. I was over there Saturday, had a large job for Moe, and no problem. I mean, their workspace alone, you could almost land an aircraft carrier in that space over there.
Yeah, it's a great store, and the things that he has in there are marvelous, and all of them, you know, there's just as much art sometimes in the creation of the frame as there is the artwork itself, and he does a great job. I think his daughter works with him there store, and they're fabulous. He's done some work for my dad and done a wonderful job.
All right, I'm convinced.
If you have any framing needs, yep. you know where to go. Paul, hope you had a great – did you have a good Easter?
I did. Went to the Desert Museum. It was wonderful.
Oh, very nice day out there. And Bruce, you kicked off the Passover season with the specialty foods.
Many specialty foods, and we had the good matzahs from Brooklyn, from Rabbi Yossi Shem Tov, from Young Israel, from the Chabad house, and it's the best matzah in the world.
Is this a stupid question? What? Explain matzah.
It's unleavened bread.
Okay.
It's dough without the yeast in it. It's flat, and it's sort of baked, and the shmura matzah, which comes from Brooklyn, you know, from uh-huh. and he supervises all of its preparation. It's for anybody who likes burnt toast, anybody who likes charred bottoms on pizzas, this is the matzah for you. It's not that cookie cutter stuff that you get from Manischewitz or Streitz.
Paul, what do you think about this news? The news came in Friday, the Arizona Supreme Court tossing the law that would have altered the way Tucson has been conducting its elections. Actually, I guess going back to 1929.
Yeah, it wasn't a surprise to me because there was an Arizona Supreme Court case way back in 1951, 52, where you know the city of Phoenix had gone changed their elections to nonpartisan, and the Arizona legislature at that time said, "Oh no, you don't," and said it has to be partisan, and the Arizona Supreme Court then said, "This is a charter decision for the city and the locals." And the state legislature couldn't get involved. So I figured they were just going to follow precedent and do the same thing here. I mean, at that time it was politically motivated what the legislature did. And this time I think what the legislature did was politically motivated because, frankly, you know, we're a city that's fairly Democratic, and the Republicans in the legislature wanted to have it nonpartisan so they could try to get more of their people in.
How do you see it, Bruce Ash?
Well, I wish that the state court system would be uniform in their decisions in election matters. They're not necessarily uniform from decision to decision. I don't know what the future litigation plans are for this particular court case. I can't really say that I'm ambivalent about the partisan versus nonpartisan, but I do have strong opinions with respect to the ward only versus the citywide election of our city councilmen, given the fact that they have a different system in the primary. This is a case for home rule, and certainly I, as a person, understand the decision and accept the decision of the high court. I don't know what the future plans. I like I said, though, I kind of wish that there would have been the opportunity to elect within the ward, because really much of the work that is done by the city councilmen and their turf, if you will, is by ward. Woe be any city councilman who goes and tries to step into somebody else's ward and advocate for projects or get involved in problems.
On that issue, I don't have a problem with going ward only, and I think we could easily do that. If you put it on the ballot, I think it'd probably pass. But I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing what we have. I mean, you don't necessarily – if you wish for something, sometimes you get something that you didn't expect. And in this situation, remember, there's six wards, and four of them are heavily Democratic, and two of them are shade towards the Republican side. And citywide, it's Democratic but not as heavily Democratic as those other four wards. That would give the Democrats a solid four absolute majority every time on the city council. And what I think it would do, it would drive things more to the extremes, because in the primary, if a political activist like myself wants to win in the general, we have to go with – if the general election is more competitive, and citywide, it is more competitive within those wards. Those activists who vote in those primaries, which is a very small number of people, will generally vote for the more moderate candidate so they can win in the general. But if it's an uncompetitive race in the general, like it would be in ward only, the ideologues would then vote for their ideological favorites, which would be more extreme positions, more liberal on the Democratic side, more conservative on the Republican side, and you would get less working together and less middle ground in terms of our candidates.
The problem is, though, Paul, is that the city charter was written at a time when Jim Crow laws were in effect across the country. And while this may not be specifically like the southern Jim Crow laws that we experienced, it's more like the northern laws that were passed to keep certain minorities out of city government. In Boston, it was to keep, the Irish out. In Chicago, it was to keep the blacks out. So, it's a representational issue, and I would rather take my chances having representation living in the city, by ward than the way that we're doing. And in fact, I think in the last major overhaul of the city charter, I think the ward-only elections was part of it, if I recall correctly. But it was that issue was so laden with other things that were objectionable to voters, it didn't pass.
Is this a setback, Paul, for Jonathan Payton, who used his political capital as a state senator in 2009 to persuade his Republican colleagues who control the legislature to try to undermine the city of Tucson's election system?
I think it's a little bit of a slap in the face. I mean, like the Democratic legislature back in 1951 that tried to slap down the city charter changes that Phoenix did to throw out the Democratic council and get in more Republicans with nonpartisan races. The Republicans were doing the same thing to the Democrats here in Tucson, where the Republican legislature was trying to make it nonpartisan, so the Republicans would have, more of a chance in the
elections. And everybody knows who the D's and the R's are.
And so I think it was just a political grab, and I think the Supreme Court ruled like they did in 51 consistently, which is, hey, this is a local issue. You leave it up to the city residents to make their election laws.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Well, I think the Arizona Daily Star certainly tried to make it appear as though this was a slap in the face of Jonathan Payton.
They also pointed out in Howard Fisher's article, Howard called it a major defeat for the Republican-leaning Southern Arizona Leadership Council, which pushed for the change in hopes of altering Tucson politics.
Well, they did, but it was really, you have to think back on the charter change amendment that was made at about the same time. There was a lot of momentum, and SALC was part of that movement. They failed to get that charter change in the election, and then chose to go this direction.
Well, and I will say that, you know, in terms of Southern Arizona Leadership Council and some of the local folks that were pushing for some of these things, they have some good motivations. I just think that Jonathan Payton and the Republican legislature had a whole different motivation involved than some of our local people who'd like to see some changes. And I don't necessarily think changes are bad. And frankly, nonpartisan races may not be a bad thing. But certainly, I think ward only is something that could happen very easily.
Let's take our break here. Did President Obama go over the line with his remarks about the U.S. Supreme Court? That's next on the political face-off for this Monday as we continue on KVOI. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Augustus Paris Antiques is a very special place for the discriminating antique collector, specializing in one-of-a-kind pieces of 19th century to mid-20th century European antique furniture and objects of art. Owner Roberta Franzheim has a great eye for quality and lasting appeal. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, they're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Let's switch gears here. We're talking about Tucson politics. Go to the national level with Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. The White House, Bruce Ash, found itself on the defensive last week over Mr. Obama's Supreme Court remarks. The president later moved to clarify and tone down his critique of the Supreme Court, saying his point was that the court has traditionally exercised significant restraint and deference to Congress. And, of course, his remarks were in relation to his health care mandate program.
The president's remarks were unprecedented. They were a chilling example of the kind of wedge politics that this president exercises. Frankly, I think that if there was a chance, Justice Kennedy might have been for keeping the law intact. I would say that probably those chances were dashed. When pressed by the Fifth Circuit in Texas, Attorney General Holder had to recant and had to say that, of course, that the court, the Supreme Court, has these powers, but they ought not, criticize laws that Congress has passed. The president made a big point to reflect that Congress had overwhelmingly supported this. I'm afraid not, Mr. President. You remember how it went and didn't go that way at all. And I would ask him also to be consistent, because the Defense of Marriage Act passed with overwhelming bipartisan majorities in both the House and Senate. This president, who said that he was for the Defense of Marriage Act, has now come into question its constitutionality. Be consistent, Mr. President.
Paul Eckerstrom.
The hypocrisy is pretty thick in here. The Supreme Court, if it rules against it, frankly, I'll be happy, because I don't like this law. I think it was a Republican idea originally, concocted by the Heritage Foundation, adopted by Bob Dole and other leaders when they were fighting against the Clinton regime. And this is the mandate itself was a boondoggle for the health insurance industry. It was a way to buy them off so they wouldn't fight the Health Care Reform Act. And frankly, I'd be happy if the Supreme Court overruled it. I don't think it's unconstitutional, though. And I think President Obama's a little bit frustrated on a very important piece of legislation because of the fact that it may go down, and I think it came out. Remember, it's the right wing that has always complained about judicial powers and judicial activism. And in this case, I think if they knock this down, it probably falls into that realm. But the Supreme Court is the final say on this. There's no doubt about it. But I do think there's a lot of hypocrisy going around when as soon as Barack Obama, who had campaigned not to have the mandate, had all the other things in the Health Care Reform Act, but not the Band-Aid, knew that he had to wed it with a mandate to make it work and to basically have the health insurance industry keep from killing his bill right out of the blocks. As soon as he adopted that, which was a Republican idea. The Republicans all of a sudden were against it, which I thought was amazing. But, you know, if they shoot this down and they say the Commerce Clause can't apply, the only thing left to us is national health insurance, which is would fall under the constitutional authority of Congress under the tax authority. And I think that's a better system anyway, where it works in the world, it works really well compared to us. For example, Canada and Taiwan only spend about 8% of their GDP on health insurance when they have the national health insurance, and we spend about 17%.
So you'd be happy just to go back to the drawing board.
I would.
Well, I'm glad to hear that Paul Eckerstrom, who is a Democrat Party official here in Pima County, has spoken against the president's signature act of his presidency. And I think that he will have a great deal of problems with the legacy of his presidency on health care because of this, whether he prevails or doesn't with this Supreme Court case.
Frankly,
this ought to be a rallying cry for Republicans of all sorts of different persuasions, because we may disagree whether it comes to foreign policy or Treasury policy or this or that. But I think that one thing we all recognize is the same government that can give you things can come and snatch them away just as quickly. There could be between 1 and 3 new Supreme Court judges which are selected in the next 4 years. And if there was ever a great reason to vote for a Republican candidate for president, it's about judges.
Let me interject, since he said that I was against the Health Care Reform Act. I actually am for it because it does a lot of good
things. You were for it before you were against it? You were for it and then
I was – I'm for all the parts of it that don't include the mandate. But let's be frank.
It doesn't work without the mandate.
I agree.
And that's where the whole thing implodes on itself.
And I agree with that. That's why I'd rather have national health insurance. But I will tell you, it does help. It's not – I don't think it's not a true fix of our
except
our
the Constitution
healthcare crisis,
gets in the way.
But it helps. It does help marginally.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Charles is with us. Charles has a 10-second quick question for Paul Eckerstrom. Go ahead, Charles.
Mr. Eckerstrom.
Hey, Charles.
When you compare the cancer survival rates with Canada and England, which have national health care, against those with the United States, how do those systems fare against us? I'll listen to your answer on the phone. Thank you.
Well, all I know is we are one of the worst, and I don't know the specifics on cancer, but I know we're one of the worst countries. We rank 29th in the world in terms of health care and on all sorts of health care measures, which include infant mortality, how long people live, all of that. We are 29th in the world. That is a horrible position to be in. So we're not even getting what we're paying for. We're paying twice as much for health care that's not very good.
You can't cover your story here very well, Paul, because the internet proves you wrong. America's survivability
when
it comes to cancer, when it comes to heart disease and so on, far, far better system. And, you can concoct whatever poll you want to put the United States in whatever place you want. People come to this country because this is the best place in the world for healthcare delivery. Mm-hmm. And when you listen to the sources that I listen to, BBC, CBC, Radio New Zealand, who all have National Health Service, they all criticize it.
I didn't say National Health Service.
Both labor as well as conservatives.
There's a difference between National Health Service and National Health Insurance. And Taiwan went this direction because they wanted to keep the healthcare system private, but they basically gave national health insurance so that people could pay for it at the basic levels. And if you were wealthy enough, then you could get the Cadillac versions like we do with Medicare. People can buy additional health insurance separately if they can do that.
Well, we already have 55% of the healthcare dollar controlled by the government. I think the worst thing we could do is give them about another 20 or 25%. And actually, if you don't like
so
the
you're
the,
saying that we
if
shouldn't
you don't
have
like
Medicare.
The post office is wrong.
You're saying we don't want Medicare.
I doubt if you're going to
against Medicare, Bruce. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm not against it at all.
And I'm saying Medicare for all. That's what I'm saying. It shouldn't just be for old people. It should be for everybody.
Okay. All right. That's going to do it for today's
More Government, Less Liberty.
That will do it for today's Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Paul and Bruce, thank you very much. Hope you both have a great afternoon and a healthy afternoon.
Yes.
My Ajahn is going to be better in about 5 minutes.
Stay with us on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be talking about Mexican-American studies here on the Buckmaster Show. Perhaps you have a very strong opinion on it. Our live line number is 790-2040. 790-2040. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Bond has been set at more than $9 million each for the two Oklahoma men suspected in a shooting rampage over the week that left three people dead. A Florida special prosecutor could still wind up charging the neighborhood watch volunteer who's admitted shooting and killing an unarmed black teen, but if she does, it will be her own decision. The prosecutors decided not to take the case to a grand jury. A Philadelphia firefighter remains hospitalized in the intensive care unit after a massive fire at a vacant warehouse that claimed the lives of two of his fellow firefighters. The Dow has hit its lowest point in almost a month today. Stocks have been lower after investors spent the weekend going over the disappointing March jobs report. Right now, the Dow down 104 points. More details at srnnews.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. This is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. If you have any questions about the Mexican-American Studies program, you can give us a call, 790-2040, 790-2040. A federal judge has under consideration an argument to strike down a law targeting TUSD's Mexican-American Studies program. The plaintiffs in the case, which challenges the constitutionality of the state law, formerly known as HB 2281, are two TUSD students. Former Arizona School Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Horn made an appearance in federal court 3 weeks ago today, speaking on behalf of the state as the Attorney General and arguing that the plaintiff's motion to have the law thrown out be denied. The law prohibits courses that promote resentment toward a race or class of people and bans courses designed primarily for pupils of an ethnic particular ethnic race, advocate ethnic solidarity instead of treatment of pupils as individuals, and promotes the overthrow of the United States government. TUSD was found in violation of the law by Tom Horn and his successor, John Hoopenthal. After an appeal by TUSD, it was denied in January, so TUSD dismantled the program amid a threat from Hoopenthal that he would withhold millions of dollars in state aid. Joining me in studio is Curtis Acosta, an award-winning educator who has been instrumental in part in creating the Mexican-American Studies program for TUSD. He is currently in his 17th year of teaching in TUSD, and 15 of those years in his current position as an English teacher at Tucson High Magnet School, the last 8 years of which he's developed and taught Chicano Latino literature. Curtis, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Buckmaster.
It's good to have you with us, and we're hoping that sometime during the half hour we will also be joined by attorney Richard Martinez, the legal representative for the plaintiffs in the federal case against the law. Curtis, do you think a lot of the media has been kind of focusing on what Tom Horn says and not really giving the point of view that you believe has kind of been missing in the story?
Yes, I want to thank you for having us. Well, Richard, let's hope he can either call in or show right up, but for inviting us here today, because that was one of the major reasons I wanted to reach out to you. Is I really feel the voices of the students and the community and the teachers have been largely overlooked by the media, as you brought up, and it makes sense with the fact that whether it's Attorney General Tom Horn or State Superintendent Hoopenthal or our own Superintendent John Petticone, that they have those positions of power and kind of like the bully pulpit that comes with it. But I think it's really crucial for us to see how things have transpired specifically since the dismantling of the program, right from the voice of folks that have been affected the most.
Did this all start because, for want of a better word, do you think Tom Horn felt he was disrespected when he came down to visit TUSD in, what was that, 2007 or 8?
2006.
Okay.
Right. You're right in the ballpark.
Yeah.
I think that may have had some partial influence upon the position we're in now. But I also think that it became a nice wedge issue to run upon as in some political gain that he has benefited from, him and his successor, Mr. Huppenthal. And once you start finding some rich vein of traction with your grassroots community, I don't think many politicians throw that to the side.
Tell me about this action in federal court. Why do you feel that the judge may go along with you in saying your side in saying that this is an unconstitutional law?
The law's excuse me. The law is very vague, and that's one of the major criteria for the challenge of the law. It's void for vagueness. Specifically, I think what we've seen, I can speak from it more from the teacher point of view. Since the dismantling of the program, we have seen the seizure of some of our materials. We have seen we've been directed specifically by TUSD administration to anything that we had designed curricular pedagogically. So what we teach and how we teach was to be abandoned and is forbidden. And so that's why, you know, I listened to the interview you had with Dr. Pettacone. It just felt like he wasn't.
And he said, and as you heard in my interview with him, that there were never any books concerning Mexican-American studies that were banned. They were put in boxes and taken to a storage area, and now those particular books are available in the libraries. Is that the way it is?
Well, that's the tragic part of this. And I can give you an anecdote that's probably the easiest way to explain this. During the Festival of Books, our students went and were sponsored by some local community groups with a table where they showed the books that they are no longer allowed to learn from. And people would come up to them and confront them and accost them verbally about, like, that, saying that they're lying and saying that that's not what's happening. Why don't you tell the truth? So there were these older folks telling our young ones, and they didn't. They responded, very very patiently and very very kindly, as we've taught them for years now. But see, when TUSD sends press releases out like that, or Dr. Pettacone makes statements like that, what ends up trickling down is on the Monday morning, I have heartbroken students crying about what they went through, or a little bit upset about how they felt that their own stories were being discounted, because we flat out are not allowed to teach anything that we had constructed before, which means anything, including The Tempest, that I taught and the units I designed.
The Tempest cannot be taught in TUSD. Is that what you're telling
me?
No, right
what I'm
now?
And this is where the semantics come
okay.
into play.
All right, tell me.
I'm not allowed to teach it.
You are not allowed.
That's right. That's correct. And so when we speak from sometimes when we speak with that story, it turns into something else, either in the blogosphere or in the media, where we're saying that all of TUSD, which isn't true. It makes it really easy for the district then to send a press release saying that the Tempest can be taught anywhere, well, anywhere but what I had done with it in the past.
What did you want to do with this program when you first thought about designing this Mexican-American Studies program?
Well, I was already a teacher for a good, 7 years, 8 years, and I was always trying to find the most engaging curriculum and rigorous curriculum that my students could possibly experience, because I wanted them ready for college. I wanted them to be more successful than I had been at an earlier age. And I also had a good two of my years were at University High, so as a teacher, so and I had a pretty good public school a foundation, as you know, mm-hmm. both of us from the Bay Area. I was a part of Cupertino Unified.
Yeah, and I think you watched. This kind of dates us. You were watching me on when I was anchoring the news. Up in the Bay Area.
Yeah, well, we won't tell anybody. I was in diapers.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Long time ago.
But I wanted to make sure my students had that type of experience. And I found right away when I moved to Tucson and became a teacher that those high expectations weren't always mirrored in the classroom towards Latino Chicano students. And so I wanted to make that happen, since the schools I taught at were largely of a Chicano Latino demographic. And that's what we did, and it was highly successful, which makes all the rhetoric about accountability. And this is the age of accountability, and our graduation rates were through the roof. Our test scores were higher than Latino students that didn't take our classes. And then now I'm not allowed to even know really what I'm teaching from one day to the next. It feels that awkward in the classroom right now.
And Curtis, I brought this up with Tom Horn when I talked to him. He had just gotten out of court. And I said, the perception is that we're a state. Well, the reality is we are a state that has 30 to 40% Hispanic Latino population. But across the country, people read about this, that the TUSD did away with a Mexican American Studies program, and there is really a disconnect.
Yes, I would agree with you. And it even becomes more exacerbated when you think about how we were, you know, with the independent audit that John Hupenthal, Mr. Hupenthal had ordered. And district audits through the years had been always, supported that what we were doing was actually something that should not only be continue to be implemented, but to be expanded. And to find ourselves in this position now, where it's been ripped away from our students and ourselves, it's a strange world we're living.
Do these courses promote racism?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, it's antithetical to what we do. One of the basic principles of our classroom is in la quechua, which is a Mayan phrase of tú eres mi otro yo, or you are my other me. You know, so in essence, the golden rule.
Curtis Acosta. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly? Acosta?
Yeah, it's like Rola Costa.
Oh, okay. Curtis Acosta is with us. And what is your position now at TUSD?
Well, all the curriculum that I'd built over the last 6 years, and you mentioned that, you know, I've been lucky enough to have some people think that I've been doing a pretty good job. That's all been verboten, I think is the German term. And it's forbidden. And I have to start from scratch within textbooks that I've never really used before, and with literature that I haven't had experience with in a long time, and I feel like I'm a long-term sub within my own classroom. We went from having a college preparatory experience in my classroom to it's more closely related to a remedial experience, because I'm barely ahead of my students in the reading for the daily readings as we speak.
You think you're going to have a job within a few years there?
I'm concerned. I'm concerned for my colleagues. It's a great question, Bill, and I think tomorrow I hope there's some support out there for Sean Arce. He's not going to be renewed. He's our director. He's been one of the best educational leaders we've had in this community.
And he's going to be history as of, I guess, tomorrow, right?
Yes, and there's been rumors out there. There's a list of teachers of my colleagues that are in similar fate. Mm.
All right. We will continue with this discussion on the Mexican-American Studies program. I think we have Richard Martinez, the attorney. He will be joining us next as we continue on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Why travel to Paris in search of that special antique when you have Augustus Paris Antiques right here in Tucson? Owner Roberta Fransheim specializes in selecting one-of-a-kind pieces of European antique furniture and objects of art from the 19th century to mid-20th century chic. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastropub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. With us on the Buckmaster Show live line is attorney Richard Martinez, the legal representative for the plaintiffs in the federal case against the law that banned Mexican-American studies. With me in studio is Curtis Acosta, an award-winning educator who has been instrumental in part in helping to create the Mexican-American studies program for TUSD. Richard Martinez, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Tell me, give me the bottom line on why you think the judge may overturn this and say it is unconstitutional.
Well, the immediate issue before the judge is to decide whether the pending motion, which is the challenge on the void for vagueness theory, is going to be granted. We're hopeful that's, in fact, we're going to be successful in this effort at this stage. I think that at the hearing on March 19th, the judge had significant questions about the clarity of the statute, or another way to put it, the ambiguities in the statute. And we believe that we presented a very thorough motion that challenges why this statute is deficient to the point of that it's unconstitutional, and void for vagueness is simply that the statute is so void, it's so vague, that it's void in the sense of no one knows what it means.
If the judge rules in your favor, could this be, where would that go from here? If the law is ruled to be unconstitutional, what would happen?
Well, if he gives us that ruling, which is, invalidates the statute in its entirety, then I'm sure that, or I would anticipate, that Mr. Hoopenthal, through Mr. Horn's representation, would appeal that ruling to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Let's bring Curtis back into the conversation. Curtis, you were in court that day, weren't you?
I was.
Three weeks ago today.
Yes.
What did you take away from that?
Well, within about a minute, maybe 45 seconds, Attorney General Horn had already compared what we had built, a curriculum and pedagogy, and our connection with our youth to that of the KKK. And he used a lot of hyperbolic language such as that, and discounted completely the Cambium audit, which was the only independent audit. And I think our attorney, Mr. Martinez, did a fabulous job in pointing out the holes in the statute of how vague it is.
Mr. Martinez, you were in court, obviously, 3 weeks ago today. I know it's hard to read the way the judge feels about something like this, but you've been in court many times. Do you have a good feeling about this, and when would you expect some kind of action? Mr. Martinez?
I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's always difficult to predict exactly what the judge is going to do. And certainly this hearing is no different and probably even more difficult in the sense of the fundamental issues that are in front of the court, because I think having a state statute invalidated is the Constitution under this theory is difficult, and it's rare. But at the same time, I'll say we walked out from that hearing optimistic, and we thought that the kinds of questions the judge was asking led us to believe two things. One is he clearly understood our motion. And number two, he seemed to be signaling, if just to the slightest degree, that I think he not only understood, but I think he shared the same concerns that we're challenging the statute on. In terms of time frame, that's difficult, because I think that an opinion of the type we're asking for is lengthy. So my guess, and that's purely what it would be, is that maybe by the end of the month, end of April. Certainly, hopefully by the end of May, somewhere in that time frame.
Mr. Horn said in court, Curtis Acosta, that if there were a KKK course, all would agree that the legislature has a legitimate interest in prohibiting it. And he continued to say that these courses promote racist values that the legislature has a valid interest in preventing. Was there anything in any of the courses that you designed to talk about promoting the overthrow of the United States government?
Absolutely not. Our classes are based upon the idea of having our students discover, for themselves what they believe, and to be able to critically analyze different perspectives. And that for me, that comes through literature. So they'll look at themes from the literature and be able to look at it critically and be able to ask questions, because we want a critical democracy. We want, you're not going to find a group of students that have been more civically engaged into all of Tucson. They've gone to almost every board meeting over the last 3 years and spoke at the call to the audience. They understand how bills go through committee and become law. They're engaged in wonderful literature studies. They have had artists come in and authors, and they've read their writing, and everybody that has a connection with what we've done has been duly impressed, unless they have a serious bias coming into the space already.
And the literature that is no longer allowed to be taught, you want to give us a few examples of the books? You mentioned something, The Tempest. You can't teach it, but others can teach it.
That's the case for everything.
Okay.
Just my colleagues and I, who are former Mexican-American studies teachers, we're the ones that cannot use any of the prior curriculum that we designed or created. And so that includes everything from Sherman Alexie, who's a Native American writer, to Ana Castillo.
I've interviewed Sherman Alexie.
Yeah,
he's quite a novelist.
Yeah, he's an amazing writer, mm-hmm. and one of the best young writers in America. And that's what I was trying to do, is find innovative, engaging literature. And I think we were proven to be successful. But all of that is I'm in teacher jail. I have to stay within the confines of the textbook. And which is tragic to the point, because I don't know those stories as well, too. So I can't even do my best effort like I could in the preparation to a class that I normally have done.
Is your behavior being monitored?
Absolutely. We get monitored. That's been the case for a long time. But now specifically, we're monitored for making sure that we're in compliance. Student work is collected, things of that nature. And by local administration, we're expecting the Arizona Department of Ed to come in anytime and do the same.
Mr. Martinez, I'm going to let you go because we're about out of time. But are you glad you took this case?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's an important case, and we're hoping that we'll have a very positive outcome.
Thank you, Richard Martinez, who is the attorney for the plaintiffs. We have a caller who didn't want to go on the air, was interested. Was MAS offered as a history credit or an elective, Curtis?
All of our courses, which included history of the junior year, literature of the junior year, government of the senior year, and English and literature of the senior year, were core credits. So you were able to take those, just like you are in college and university level for the purposes of graduation credit in English or social studies.
Is this program being taught anywhere else in the state?
Not as far as we know, and not to the degree that we have. Before Dr. Petticone and the Hicks majority became into office, we were over 2,000 students, and we've been whittled away even before the dismantling of the programs. It's been tragic, actually.
Good luck to you. Curtis Acosta, thank you for joining us on the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers & Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. We have another full lineup for you tomorrow. Clean elections, is it still the law? We'll talk about that tomorrow. It is indeed, and we'll find out who is eligible to take part in the publicly financed program for elections in Arizona. Just one of the interviews that we have planned for you tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.